Now, first of all, how serious a problem do you perceive this to be?
Well, it is a fairly serious problem. We know that over the last 10 years or so, there have been a number of cases, and the problem is that they're generally the ones that come to light are very serious cases. We've had Victoria Columbia, we had the Child B case, and we had Christy Bamu. And these are children who've either been very seriously tortured or, in certain cases, actually killed because of this.
Now, I'm going to talk to somebody from the Met Police a little bit later on about this as well, but yep. And I'll probably ask them the same question, but I'm interested to know, in a time when we are not allowed to ridicule somebody because of their religious beliefs, how do we get over saying to somebody, I'm sorry, but you believe rubbish? I mean, you can't seriously believe that behaving like this is going to rid your child of evil spirits. How do we get over that?
Well, I think you've hit the nail absolutely square on the head. And this action plan that's come out today is great. It's all very good. There's lots of really good material in it. And there are categories, and there's a wonderful Ofsted-type action plan with all boxes ticked that you can follow through, and that's all great and wonderful. But the great big but is the one exactly that you pointed the finger at, which is the elephant in the room, the missing thing. They make very clear at the opening of the action plan, quotes, we are clear that this is not about challenging people's beliefs. And that's exactly the problem, because what is going on with this is that people's beliefs are directly linking to child abuse. There's no doubt whatsoever that pastors in churches in London are preaching that it is possible for a child to be possessed by an evil spirit. The moment you start saying that to a child, the family start believing it, it becomes abusive. There's a direct link to this. So you're absolutely right. There is a belief system behind this that is the problem this report, this action plan, does not tackle and shies away from.
You see, this is so obvious to me and you, Richard, and everybody else, that you cannot play political correctness with something as serious as this. And if somebody believes because their child wets the bed or whatever they do that they are possessed of an evil spirit, then they have to be rigorously brought into the 21st century. I have no religious beliefs whatsoever, so I'm not hampered by what I consider to be stupidity in many cases. But I do understand people should be allowed to believe whatever they want to believe, of course, and we should allow anyone to have any belief they want. But when their beliefs, A, come in conflict with the law of the land, and B, start to be detrimental to other human beings, I think we have to step in, don't we?
Absolutely right. I agree with you 100%, and that is exactly what this action plan does not do and will not do, for fear of cutting on toes of cultural sensibility in the multicultural Britain that we now have. The problem, I mean, it's extraordinary, because we will do that. We will step in when it's, for example, incitement to racial hatred. We'll do it when it's incitement to terrorism that might lead to actual terrorist acts. We'll do it for subjects like paedophilia. What we won't seem to be prepared to do, because of actually what is basically an overly sympathetic white liberal agenda, we won't actually say to somebody, your belief belongs in the first century, in the biblical passages of the first century, but does not belong in the 21st century. You cannot say a child will be possessed by evil spirits. And the trouble is, we won't tackle that. And until we do, I'm afraid that children will go on being abused. And that is the issue here. And the action plan is papering over the cracks. It's not actually addressing the issue. And I've heard people, good people, Terry Sharp, who was on the working group, is a really good man, great respect for him, but I've heard him say this is not about beliefs. I've heard the head of the Victoria Columbia Foundation saying it's not about beliefs. I'm sorry, it is about beliefs. You cannot have pastors preaching Sunday by Sunday and in the week that a child can be possessed by an evil spirit, because the moment you do, that's abusive. And I'm afraid it's extraordinary. I mean, it is political correctness gone crazy. And children are the victims.
See, I'm going to talk to Terry in a bit on this as well. In a way, the police's hands are tied, aren't they?
They are, and I don't blame the police at all. They're in an impossible position here. They were hammered after the Stephen Lawrence inquiry, quite rightly, for institutional racism. They're now bending over backwards. They, of course, have a job to make to build bridges into communities. This is not the police's fault. In fact, it actually should not be driven by the police. The government needs to grip this and actually have the courage, and it is courage that's required to say, okay, some beliefs are wrong. Why? Because it leads directly to child abuse. That belief system must be addressed, and they've got to have the courage to do that. That actually is what grown-up multiculturalism should be about. It's about everybody holding the mirror up and looking at themselves. And you're quite, you said at the beginning about your beliefs. Well, I'm quite happy to have the mirror held up to mine. And if there are things that aren't right in my beliefs, my cultural traits, my background, great. I've lived in Africa. You know, I've immersed myself. I've told this story in The Boy in the River about how, you know, how immersed I came with the death of two of my children out there. So this isn't to me. This is about actual decent humanity, underlying core, not about skin colour or anything like that. And when children are the victims, we've got to make that the priority.
So what do you think we can do to protect these children from families who are, I mean, in a way, these are ignorant families, and I'm not being rude about it, but they have an ignorance of modern day living and life. They believe stuff that they've been fed by so-called religious leaders. Yeah. Well, religious leaders who, I suppose, if you were to hold a lot of religion up to scrutiny, you could find it quite easy to poke fun at. How do we actually make them see sense? How do we say to them, if you don't see sense, then we will have to step in and do something? And these churches now, and I'm not going to pick out any one, I'm sure there are some good ones amongst them, but they have sprung up on nearly every corner of certain parts of the capital city. What do we do about this?
Well, there's no regulation of these churches. That's the first thing. Absolutely no regulation at all. Any pastor can pop up. Now, can you imagine that happening with a school, that a school just pops up without any, you know, any scrutiny whatsoever? That's the first thing. The pastors, by and large, do not have child protection policies, procedures in place, which, again, in any other setting, you have to have. You have to go through rigorous checks. Okay, maybe they're overdone, but you have to go through rigorous enhanced CRP checks to be with children. I know of pastors who have one-to-ones with children, long sessions where children are pouring out their hearts to these pastors one-to-one. That is a situation which would never be allowed to happen in a school, for instance. So that needs to be put in place, and that must be driven by the government. But they've got to grip that. And I think, thirdly, I think you have to say that you cannot go around inciting a child, basically inciting abuse through saying that a child can be possessed by an evil spirit. I think that could be a prosecutable offence. The four categories of child abuse in this country, and I think that one is covered under the emotional child abuse. I think to tell a child that they're possessed by witchcraft is abusive, and I think we could really be much, much firmer on that. And we could actually say to pastors, and actually there's a member of the working group that said this to me, but off the record, we could actually say to a pastor, if you carry on preaching that, you're going to lose your right to remain in Britain. Now, that would send out a very clear signal. We cannot go on with this. And as I said, we do it for other things. We do it for incitement to racial hatred. We do it for terrorism. I think we need to do it for this issue, which raises the whole spectre of child abuse.
You see, the thing is, once you start, and I agree totally with what you're saying, Richard, but once you start opening this can of worms, you will find that there are very strange things believed by people in what are supposedly fairly normal religions too, and certain things that could be considered by the rest of us abusive to actually do or practice or make suggestions to your children in this way. And I think people are going to have to be made to confront the sort of beliefs that they have, that you might have a belief in something that you can't see and you can't touch, but once you start practicing certain physical things in respect of this belief, which is after all only a belief, once you start practicing things that come into conflict with the law of the land, you're going to be in trouble.
Exactly, and I think that is the point. I think there's been enough evidence now over 10 years that this particular belief system does directly contribute to child abuse. And there's enough of a link there with serious cases in Britain and other cases that are unreported and ones that I've been investigating that we can do that. I think we need to do that because I do not want to stand again in the Old Bailey, as I did earlier this year in that Christy Benwick trial, stood in the witness stand with those terrible people there in the dock, and be dealing with that dreadful, dreadful tragedy that happened to this boy who had, literally living daylights beaten out of him because they believed in witchcraft. I don't want to be back there in 5 years' time. And I'm afraid, I actually think we will be, unless we really bite the bullet on this and really go for it.
Here's the last question, running out of time. Are those people you talk about and people like them, are they really terrible? Or is it what they've been told to believe or what they've been made to believe? You see, this is the problem that I think a lot of people are going to suddenly throw out, saying, hang on, it's not my fault. This is what I'm told. This is, you know, this is...
And you're right. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And it is what they're told. And they're being told it all the time by pastors in London Certainly, it's absolutely endemic in parts of Africa. If you go to capitals I have, like Kinshasa, many times, it's absolutely rife, and there's thousands, tens of thousands of children pushed out onto the streets there because of this accusation. And it's now in Britain and in London, and that's the point. And it is about what they're being told. They're being preyed on by people who are manipulating them, and actually these pastors have got to be called to account on this.
Richard, thank you very much indeed for your time. Good to talk. Dr. Richard Hoskins, the author of A Boy in the River. He's an expert on African studies and criminologist as well. This is a very real problem. Have you come across this problem in your life? Is somebody you know, addicted to these kind of religious pastors? They seem to be growing like Topsy here in the capital. Tell me your stories. We talked about this some months ago, and now because of the government launching this action plan, it's back in the news again. Have you come into contact with witchcraft through religion here in the capital? If you have, tell me your story.
Case review has begun into the death of Tia Sharp 4 days after the 12-year-old's body was discovered in New